and to get move forward a little bit also in the lean mode, so we can pretty much hopefully start. Maybe we'll need a little more, one other shear or two to finish up the Lefikach, but mostly we're going to start with a Dalet Omid Beis when we pick up, and then we'll try to go, you know, a little bit more in Shutfin, and then we'll move on to some topics in Cheskes Habachtim. As you can see, well, Basra, not hard to move quick. It's not easy to move quickly because the topics are very, you know, monumental, one could say. Anyways, so the last thing, I hope everybody's enjoying the beginning of their intercession. And I think we're going to schedule one more of these, right, Asher? Is that what we decided? Sounds good. So that would be for next, let's assume for the moment, the same time, same day. In other words, next Tuesday, also at 11. Okay, and we'll try not to go too long in either of these shiurim. So we were, the last thing we're discussing was a very interesting topic on the question of Mechiras Beis HaKnesses, Pidyon Shvuyim, you know, and the interface, you know, of those things. So the Beis HaKnesses part, there's much, much more to talk about, but, you know, we're going to leave that now, otherwise we'll never get past it. But obviously some of the important sugyas in Megillah, but at least the Sodos we've discussed in terms of the role of, you know, various factors. The practical question of Tefillah B'Tzibur, on another level, the relationship between that and Tefillah B'Beis HaKnesses, you know, having like a higher level, the question of the profile of having multiple, having a Beis HaKnesses and then multiple Batei Knesios in a community. That was all kind of one part of it. And the other part of it, of course, being the issue of Chilul, you know, HaMikdash, Mikdash Ma'at, and the extent to which, you know, Beis HaKnesses as Mikdash Ma'at is a very serious category. Ad Kedei Kach that, you know, of course, it's compared to the Mikdash, even in the continuation of our Gemara, the Hordos Gemara, you know, assumes that there's a organic connection between Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMikdash. Of course, if there is that connection, you know, the question is whether or not it's like a pale, you know, more modest or moderate example thereof, or whether it's the common denominator that they both share. I was even suggesting, not my suggestion, one of the Achronim suggests that the Rambam's Shita, when it comes to the problem of Losasu Kein Lashem Elokechem, is that you need Derech Hashchasa. They even have its source in our sugya. So we learn the Beis HaMikdash din from the Mikdash Ma'at Beis HaKnesses din. So, but it's a very fruitful, very important topic. Like, how far do we go with this Mikdash Ma'at idea and the idea of Chilul? And as part of that, also, I should just add that this is something that we spoke about a lot, that if this is part of the sugya, so a lot of the issues in the Gemara are going to be relevant to something we talk about today as well. It isn't just, you know, the question of, you know, how, you know, what's usher, what's mutter, you know, per se. It also becomes, you know, a question of what's considered stira and chilul as opposed to, you know, what's considered to be binyan. In other words, at one, you know, both the kula and chumra, if the issue is an issue of mikdash ma'at, and, you know, treating it as such, and chilul, you know, kodesh, you know, in that respect. So the more you look, let's say if you're talking about replacing, you know, there are two types of issues in the Gemara. One is you want to upgrade the Beis HaKnesses, you want to replace the Beis HaKnesses, you know, with something better, et cetera, et cetera. And the other, of course, is, you know, what are you not allowed to do for other reasons? And we'll get to the Pidyon Shvuyim part of that, you know, in just a second. But especially the first issue, Mishum Pshius, both the Mishum Pshiusa and Mishum tsuluye, the different shitos, as we discussed, and, you know, the question of tiyua, you know, in particular, you know, you could look at them in a narrow way, namely, what are you allowed to do, what are you not allowed to do, you know, and that depends very specifically on what the mechayvim are, what the problems are. But a way, a broader way, lekula lechomer, to look at this whole problem is, you know, I think I gave the example when we last met, was, you know, like from Hilchos Shabbos point of view, is this like stira? Is this stira almanas livnos? Or is this like, you know, tchilas, you know, habinyan? So that's a very important question in Hilchos Shabbos, obviously, in general. But it's a question here, you know, as well. So if you find cracks in the foundation, and what do cracks mean? A real sakana, it's going to fall down, you can make it better. The timeline in terms of the gap between, the question of, you know, how worried are you? How worried do you need to be, mishum pshiusa, you know, that this would really be, you know, a davar hama'akev. You know, how worried are you going to be, you know, in pshiusa, you know, dilma isrami, we'll get to that in a second too. Pigeon shvuyim, you know, and then you'll be left, you know, without. So lakula and lechumra, if we look at this not in terms of the actual chashashos or the actual isurim, but in terms of like a broader, much more amorphous, but like in some respect, the more fundamental question. And that is like, you know, do we look at this as a, you know, an improvement project, you know, and as a tikkun, you know, in the aggregate, or do we look at it, you know, as a chilul of the Beis HaKnesses, you know, Hakaya? So, you know, things like, you know, Dil Misrami, or how much of a time frame, or Tiyua, you know, both the more urgent type and the broader types, they take on a completely different meaning and coloration once we're trying to figure out, you know, binyan is always good. Tikkun is always good. You know, stira, you know, even, you know, well motivated is always a problem of asasun kein la shabalo keichem. You know, but once the issue is, oh, but is it derech hashchasa? You know, which is the Rambam requires, especially if it comes from this sugya, that would be very telling. Or even if you want to drop the derech hashchasa, just go straight to the, you know, is this stira or is this tchilas tikkun or tchilas binyan? Or you know, then all these issues take on a different, you know, kind of a meaning and significance. And that's going to be very, very important, not only for the issues that we already talked about, but for a couple of others that will come up. So that's in terms of the Beis HaKnesses part and the Beis Medrash part. I should also add, there's one other topic which I, you know, which Rishonim talk about a little bit here, but much more, again, in Megillah, and that is the question of, you know, achila and shtia and shena b'beis haknesses, because that also comes up here in sugya, and the, you know, the question of beis haknesses shebabavel and be'eretz Yisrael, you know, b'shas yeshuvam u'b'shas, you know, churbanam. Again, what, you know, the different days, Rashi in Megillah, Tainus Rashi, Tosis here, you know, Alatar and the other places. So those are issues I'm not going to go into right now, but obviously they are relevant as well. And I think I already made the ha'ara, but I'm not going to back it up right now. And that is that you might be a b'chalik between Beis Medrash and Beis HaKnesses in some of these issues. In terms of the Chomer HaKedusha, Beis HaMedrash's Kedusha is greater. That's clear. And we'll get that. That also echoes here a little bit in the Bach and the Taz and some of their comments. But in terms of, you know, being more of a place that you can call your home and treat more like your home, you know, more of an informal place, even if it's more of a sanctified place, there might be greater flexibility. That's a certain irony of the relationship between Beis Medrash and Beis HaKnesses. Again, maybe some other time we'll go into the details and try to prove this according to various mefarshim. But that's something to think. That's on the Beis HaKnesses side of things. Agav, in this sugya, comes up, and that led us to the second Gemara, the Gemara in Dav Ches, that pigeon shvuyim, you know, as much as this Gemara is a peon in a testament to the Kedusha of Bnei Sakneses and how, you know, how tremendously demanding that is, you know, that such that, you know, you even replacement has all these, you know, strictures, you know, and so on and so forth. It also ends up being an equal testament to the value of the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim. Because Pidyon Shvuyim, you know, does allow you to, you know, spend the money that is designated, even to sell the, you know, the you know, the levanim and the, you know, the kalim and everything else. Again, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, as we discussed, it could very well be that the difference between the other mitzvahs and Pidyon Shvuyim is only in nihug. That also might reflect, you know, puk chazim madavar. It might also reflect, at least quantitatively, if not more, the difference between Pidyon Shvuyim and other mitzvos. But at the end of the day, it may reflect that, but, you know, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't highlight a big gap, at least between these two things, because, you know, fundamentally, you could do this for mitzvos as well. There are probably other things where Pidyon Shvuyim stands out, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But of course, according to the Rambam, you know, the ability to sell, you know, the levanim and all that is only Pidyon Shvuyim and not other mitzvos. So the Rambam, of course, is very interesting because on the one hand, because of a different girsa or because of conviction, he, you know, made clear, which is also not so obvious, that you can take money designated for Beis HaKnesses and you can actually spend that on other mitzvos. The simple pshat of our Gemara is that you cannot, but the Rambam paskins that you can. So on the one hand, he has, you know, upgraded, you know, the counter pressure engendered by mitzvos. And at the same time, you know, his the distinction between Pidyon Shvuyim and Shar Mitzvos when it comes to selling materials, then, you know, further accentuates the uniqueness of Pidyon Shvuyim. So the Rambam upgraded mitzvos here not to close the gap with Pidyon Shvuyim, but to, you know, to accentuate, even though mitzvos are a strong counter pressure, there's still a difference, and that highlights the, you know, qualitative superiority of Pidyon Shvuyim. And then, you know, the rest of what we already discussed, which is that, you know, my suggestion that in the Rambam, if you look very carefully in Perkes, Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, Halacha, Yud Aleph, Yud and Yud Aleph, I think what emerges, I'm sorry, Halacha Yud more than Yud Aleph, the language and everything goes well, I'm not going to repeat everything that we said, differentiates the Rambam from Rashi and constitutes a significant escalation in terms of the higher stature of Pidyon Shvuyim. You know, he repeats Belvad, Mitzvah Rabbah. You know, he makes it seem that you actually violate all the, you know, Kulu Isnayu Bey, you know, Dinim. You know, he makes it clear, which is not clear in other Gemaras, about how it's, you know, superior to Parnassas and Ksusam of Aniyim. So again, everything that we discussed already, you know, he makes it sound like there's a bitul asay, not just an ikiyum asay when it comes to daka. That's a diuk and a chiddush, if I'm correct about it, which would be very important, as opposed to chusmat and saniyim. I assume everyone just for so far, you know, adding a little bit, but mostly recapping. So the Rambam's bigger idea is that Pidyon Shvuyim is really a mitzvah rabbah in echus, not just in kamos, and that it has a pikuach nefesh, as well as these other dinim, integrated with it as well. And that's very, very true. That's very important if it's true. If it's the case, though, and there are strong indications of it, so then we need to look at some of the limitations, you know, according to the Rambam, in a different light. And that's where we get to the last thing that we discussed. As if indeed, in the case of pigeon shvuyim, you violate, you know, tzedakah and all these other things, and you also violate pikuach nefesh, then, you know, it becomes a little, on the one hand, you can understand the lashonos associated by, you know, in some of the mefarshim that really, you know, formulate, you know, this as a real pikuach nefesh. For example, in Shulchan Aruch, one second. One of you also pointed this out, but it had been on my original list, but the in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Reish Nun Beis, I think the Rama quotes the language of the Marik, if I can't find it right away, I'll just drop it, but which is that Kol HaMa'acher, you know, if you delay in Pidgin Shvuyim, yeah, here it is, I'm sorry. It's a Reish Nun Beis Sif Gimel, Kol rega shema'acher lepidyon shvuyim. This is a halacha that is nifsak in the Shulchan Aruch, but it has its roots in the Marik Shor Zayin, an important Marik, which we'll get back to in a minute. Kol rega shema'acher liftos shvuyim heichad efshar lahakdim havekeilu shofei chedamim. So even delay is shofei chedamim. That's a very strong language. The Bach. In his Paris on the Tour in Simon Reish Nun Beis. One second. The Bach in Simon Reish Nun Beis suggests that the reason for all Pidyon Shvuyim's uniqueness is based on the Rambam. He starts off quoting the Rambam in Perek Ches Halacha Yud, and then he says, "Klamar kiven she'omed gam ke b'sakanas nefashos lefikachu kodem leparnasas aniyim leksusan." And then he talks about Kol Dvar Mitzvah. He says, "Kiven the pidyon shvuyim gedolim mikol haMitzvos afilu mitalmud Torah." Okay, so it's interesting. Again, what's mechudash about the Bach is you didn't. It could be that, you know, pidyon shvuyim is mitzvah rabbah, and therefore it's more pressing, has greater priority than Ksusan and Parnasan Shalaniyim in its own right. That doesn't have to be because of the Bikuach Nefesh component. Especially if you hold like, you know, Rashi and you kind of downplay that part of it, it could lead to that and so on and so forth. The Bach was obviously incredibly impressed with the Rambam's formulation. And his argument is that that colors Pidyon Shvuyim in anything and in everything, even its hierarchical relationship with other mitzvahs, including Talmud Torah, something that we will get back to. So on the one hand, you know, you have this, you know, almost literal, you know, in language, in ascribing some of the stature and superiority of Pidyon Shvuyim, you have this escalation that is connected especially to the language of the Rambam, which understanding the Gemara in Daf Ches in a very literal, kulu v'snayu bei, in a literal way. At the same time, you have another phenomenon, and that is you have Mefarshim who suggest that when you have a case of pidyon shvuyim, that is a sakanas nefashos, that somehow that's different, that takes it out of the normal realm, and therefore, it goes beyond the limitations of the regular din of Pidyon Shvuyim. Now, so far, we're using the Rambam, the Bach is, the Marik is, others are, to highlight, you know, when Pidyon Shvuyim is superior to other mitzvahs. But what's fascinating is that there are two problems. There are still limitations on Pidyon Shvuyim. And there are also there are limitations on Pidyon Shvuyim, number one. For example, the pashtus of our Gemara, we'll see the Rambam in a minute, mechiras beis hakneses, but if it's really pikuach nefesh, shouldn't that also require mechiras beis hakneses? Right? Even shenigmar? Maybe not. But you might think. And some other things as well. When it comes to, for example, Mumar Lateyavo, and I think you mentioned this, I'm not sure if we went into detail, the Sugin Gitin Daf Mem Hei, the Nosa Kalim on the Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch, you know, have a whole discussion. There are some Rishonim more explicit about it, but mostly the discussion revolves around Diuk in the language of the Rambam. If somebody's a Mumar Lahachis, then there's no Pidyon Shuyim. If he's a Mumar Lateyavon, so the pashtus of the Gemara in Gittin is that there is Pidyon Shvuyim, but the way that the Kesef Mishnah and others understood it is that according to Rambam, it's a Rishus. You get to choose. That's very strange. First of all, the middle Shita, that there's a Chiyuv, that there's a that you're not allowed to, both make sense. That you get to choose is very strange. Okay, frankly, the idea that mumar l'te'avon there might be an iser that you're not allowed to be poda, or you're not obligated to be poda, is very strange. If we're talking about pikuach nefesh, so the Radvaz has a very interesting piece in Perek Ches Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. He discusses also, by the way, what happens if a person is, we discuss it in the context of the Rambam in Matnas Aniyim, where the Rambam talks about Shana B'Shilesh, also based on the Gemara in Gittin. Just one second. I'm not finding the right Rambam here. Just one second. Oh, second. Yeah. So the Rambam, Mishemakar atzmo banav legayim o shalava mehem b'shavu osan. This is halakha yud gimel. O asra osa b'halba asan. Pam rishon ashniya mitzvah libdoso. Shlisha sein podin osa. This is based on the Gemara Nashaleach. Abo podim esabanim lachar misa sabiyin. Bim bikshu la rog podim osa miyadam. Afilo achar kama pa'amim. So number one, this is based on the Gemara, but some of the mefarshim are troubled. What do you mean bikshu Lahargo, it's already pikuach nefesh, right? Then you have the din of, then you have this whole discussion in the Radvaz. Kvar nishalti, right? This is in a tshuva, chelek ches, simen kuf samaches, al yehudim aregilim lignov mamon agayim, imanu mechiyavim livdosam, imedaminen lemisha lava, Vasru olamisha nishtamed mali ochalvelos mali lo signo. Belesi del olam podim also kidin mishalavam nagoyim, shere inagoe gonev lahachis al teyavo. Mizea tama filu rogil ligno mamun shal yisrael the tofsu agoyim podinoso. Then he adds, Vafilu fidasa omrin de mishubid ochalvelos a teyavo and ain yisrael chayavam liftoso, hoch ikatamachrina shakala gonvim mamun agoyim. This is sad, but this is still true, unfortunately. Toin v'sovrim dekra delo tigno v'yisrael kai. V'somchen al kra, dera vita goyim, etc. So he says that, you know, even if you hold mumar l'teyavon, that there's no obligation to be poda, this could be an obligation here because the people don't realize that they're doing something wrong. They think it's permissible. Which I'd say is a sad state of event, but what's fascinating is that either way, the Radvaz suggests that there would be a difference if a person is actually in sakana. If a mumar l'teyavon is actually in sakana, he says that everybody would agree that you have to be poda. So again, there's a double puzzle. Number one, how could there be any Rishon who thinks that a mumar l'teyavon is not subject to pidyon? right? If it's pikuach nefesh. Number two, how could there be a factor of sakana that changes the norm in pidyon shvuyim if pidyon shvuyim itself is sakana? But that's what we're finding in Shana V'Shilesh and in Mumma L'Tayavon, according to various Rishonim. I'll give you another example. The Mishnah says in Gittin that you don't redeem in Pidyon Shvuyim Yosem B'Kedei Damav. This is the problem of, ransom, deterrent. You don't want people to be encouraged to hijack. Right, so the Israeli government used to have a firm policy, and then they gave in a few times. But terrible, terrible choices you have to make. They made the original thing: we never negotiate with in hostage situations, because as a deterrent. This is an old question. So the Gemara discusses this. You don't want to encourage people to kidnap or to hijack, so you don't give more than the standard amount. You don't want them to gouge. Don't want to encourage more of it. So there are some Gemaras that imply that, they paid enormous sums for Pidyon Shvuyim. So the Rishonim, Bali Tosis already in Gittin, on Memvav, and then later on Nun Ches, different Gemaras, they come up with different answers. Some of them are Mechalek between, depends who the victim is or what his relationship is with the poda. So, for example, if it's let's say a Talmud Chacham or a Katan Muflag who has the potential, then maybe you could even be poda Yosemik. Wow, why? Very strange. If it's Ishto Kigufo, so maybe that's an exception. If it's himself, maybe that's certainly an exception. Question where you draw the line. If it's his children, is that an exception? So they make all sorts of chilukim. Now, these chilukim are important in their own right. Obviously, some of them have to do with the survival of the community as opposed to individuals. That's where you get Tamil Chacham and, Katan, who's Muflag B'Chachma. Clearly, it's not a hierarchical thing in Kedushas Yisrael. It's something that has to do with the impact on the community. Like Talmid Chachamim paying taxes, I'm talking about, legally, if you have a rule that you can't pay taxes, they don't have to pay taxes. It's not, a way of discriminating. It's a way of, providing incentive for people of certain stature to live in a community that helps the community. Anyways, so that's one perspective. And then, of course, the other part, the part about whether it's children or Ishto or Gufo, there are certain things that are, instead of being public questions, which you have to handle on a public level, they're individual questions like, this isn't the community's business, it's my business. If it's my wife or myself or my daughter or my son, and where do you draw the line? Okay, those are chilukim that are understandable. But the Tosas in Gittin and Nun Ches says, maybe the difference is whether it's sakanas nefashas. So what's that chiluk about? After all, some achronim ask, kulu is nayube. Everything is sakanas nefashas. So again, it's like the distinction within mumar or shana v'shilesh or other things. Like if imkvar oskar, if it is, it is. Like what's going on? So this is also the issue of kedimas ha'aim or ha'isha, which we discussed in a letter, I think we mentioned it. Right in Shulchan Aruch, that in Simin Reish Nun Beis, based on the Gemara, right, the Gemara says that you give priority to Imo Kodemes Lekula. Right, and the Shach says that Afilu the Shach Sivkotnu says Afilu Dide Avagav Dechayiv Kodmin Lechayiv Nirabo. Right, so that's a problem. So Mikol Shekain Lechaye Imo De Garua Tve. Gabe Kavir Mora, right? So the Umashma Dein B'Shiv Yazu Mishim Sakan. So the Shach's answer in the end is, the mother is Kodemes to him only when there's no Sakanas Nefashos. Avalim Yesh Sakanas Nefashos, Kayev Kodmim l'shel imo. That's a shach's psak. So the Birkei Yosef al atar says, I don't understand that psak at all. Every pidyon shvuyim, that's what makes it mitzvah rabba, is the fact that it's a sakonas nefashos. So if every pidyon shvuyim sakonas nefashos, and the Gemara says that imo kodemes, then you can't make that chiluk. So these are a bunch of examples that highlight Mechira Sefer Torah, which we'll get to in a couple of minutes also. So with regard to Mechira Sefer Torah, the Gemara says that there's Mechira Sefer Torah L'shem. There's a Gemara in Megillah on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, which Tosis quotes here on Chesam and Beis, that Mechira Sefer Torah only for two things, for Talmud Torah and Lisa Isha. Okay? Impressive company for both. So, and the Rambam paskins that way in Hilchos Sefer Torah. It's a very interesting Rambam, actually. And the Rambam says, this Perek Yud Aleph, this part of the things I told you to look at, we're going to discuss it more fully in a minute. In Hilchos Sefer Torah, Perek Yud Aleph, Halakha Beis, the Rambam is very, much more emphatic than the Gemara. And the Gemara says these are two exceptions. Okay, this is Hilchos Sefer Torah, Perek Yud Aleph, Halakha Beis. One second. Why am I not finding this?
It's in Perek Yud.
Perek Yud Halakha Beis? Sorry. Sefer Kasher Nogim Bo Kedusha Yisera V'Kavad Gadol Asa L'Adam Limkar Sefer Torah Afila Eina Mayokal Afila Hoyola Svarim Harbe Afila Yashan Likach Bo Chadash Ein Mokhren Sefer Torah El L'Shnei Dvarim Sheyum Matorah B'damav O Sheyisa Isha B'damav Hu Shalaiya L'Davar Acher Limkar. Even then, only for Ein Davar Acher Limkar. Okay. So, what happened to Pidyon Shvuyim? So Tosis actually, and we're going to get to, back to this more fully in a minute, but Tosis on Chesom and Beis quotes this Gemara and says, for sure, Mochrin Sefer Torah L'Shem Pidyon Shvuyim, because Pidyon Shvuyim is a mitzvah rabbah, and therefore it's superior to Talmud Torah and to Piri of Arivia, right? Just like the Bach said it was superior for Talmud Torah because it's mitzvah rabbah. Right? And since it's since that's the case, so probably it's superior to Sefer Torah too. Why isn't it on the list? It's so obvious it's not on the list. That's what Tosa says. And that, of course, created a whole tumult, a whole discussion, which, you know, we're going to sum up in a minute. You know, there are other problems with this, right? So we'll get to that. The whole issue of the Drisha and the Shach and the Taz and the whatever. But it's interesting to note, okay, so Tosa says that Pidyon Shvuyim actually does outrank, it, in other words, it justifies Mechira Sefer Torah. But the Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah, you know, doesn't mention Pidyon Shvuyim. So that's strange, because it's Sakonas Nefashos, according to the Rambam. And he's the most extreme advocate of the, he's the one who expanded Pidyon Shvuyim's stature more than anybody. Not only that, but the Rambam here, interestingly, maybe that's part of it, says, when he says this point about Sefer Torah, first of all, it's very interesting how he starts. We'll get back to the Sefer Kosher, no egim bo kedusha yaseir of a kavod gadol. Also, l'adam limko Sefer Torah, filo ein lo mayochal. So there's an interesting discussion. The Kesef Mishnah quotes the Ramach, Kosev Agos Ramach, Temo Rabbeinu Shekosev Asel Limko Sefer Torah Fila Eino Mayochal, Tzari Rishalmi, Sof Bikurim, Garsinan, Sholu Lamau Shimka Sefer Torah, and so on. Mokran Sefer Torah Lisa Isha Lumod Torah Kol Shekem B'Pnei Chaya. There's a whole discussion in the Rishalmi and Bikurim whether this is the case or not. The Kesef Mishnah himself thinks that the Ramach's Hasaga is not such a problem. You can read the Yerushalmi differently and so on. right? So Ein Lama Yochal, he says the Rambam is right. But then at the end of the piece, he says, Umasha kosa minik tani sefer Torah dumid beis of the lake of Asura. He can remember midi iria hakadisa hakadisa. Mekal makom yesh litmoa. Hech efshar shaloi tira limcho sefer Torah b'nei chaya. Halo pikuch nefesh docha kol mitzvah shebet Torah. Yesh lomar dina chanami shima yipikuch nefesh mamish kegon shok zubulmos pshita demuta limcho sefer Torah kede lachi also. Haka b'may eskinon b'shem ezonosav mitzum tzomim b'yoser avalo higiyu legeder shiyyabo pikuach nefesh. So the Kesef Mishnah, again, you know, is basically, one more time. The Ramach is troubled by a Yerushalmi. He says you should expand this to, to a person who's literally starving. Okay. Kesef Mishnah says, I can be miyashev that. But then he says, yeah, but what about pikuach nefesh per se? So he says, inochanami, if it's real pikuach nefesh, the Rambam didn't mean pikuach nefesh, he meant he's hungry, right? Meaning he's suffering, but he's not dying. If he was dying in Akhanami, then Pikuach Nefesh would be Dokha. Why am I telling all you this to you now? It's interesting, right? It's also important for this part of the Rambam, which we'll get back to in a second. Obviously, it shows that the Rambam is very dogged. He didn't have to even mention all this, you know, about Mechirat Sefer Torah, right? You really have to avoid it, you know, tremendously. Okay. But it's also curious. In light of, you know, since he leaves Pidgina Shvuyim off the list, let's assume for the moment he doesn't hold like the Balei Tosas. Right? But the Rambam is the one who says that you violate Lo Samar Al Dam Reyecha. And it's Bechlal Pikuach Nefesh. Right? So again, it's Bechlal Pikuach Nefesh, but it doesn't apply to a Mormon Le Te'avon. It's Bechlal Pikuach Nefesh. But Imo Kodemes, it's Bechlal Pikuach Nefesh, but you're not Mokhar Sefer Torah for it. And then, of course, you have the issue, as I say, of Beis HaKnesses for the Rambam. Right? As I said. Now, in Beis HaKnesses, it's a little tricky in the Rambam. First of all, in the clash between Beis HaKnesses and Pidyon Shvuyim for the Rambam, right, there are basically several things to consider. Number one, does the Rambam think that's true only b'nigmar habinyan or even b'emtz habinyan? The girsa that we have in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim makes it sound like a gmar habinyan. This is in Halacha Yud Aleph. The Rambam says, okay, so at least that means until, you know, if it's not Nigmar, you know, then you would sell it. I mean, Pidyon Shvuyim would outrank Beis HaKnesses, just not Benigmar. Even then, there's a big machlokas. We'll get back to it in a minute. What does this mean? The Ram says Ela Yigvu le Pidyona Minatzibur. So does he mean that, you know, it's better to be Gove Pidyona Minatzibur than to sell the Beis HaKnesses, but if you only way that you're going to accomplish Pidyon Shvuyim would be through selling the Beis HaKnesses, you'd be able to do that even Benigmar. In which case this is a statement of the Ram on the Pidyon, but Pidyon Shvuyim is outranks everything. That's how the Shach and probably the Gra understood the Rambam, right? Or no. So we'll get back to that. So that's a question. Does the Rambam think that Bidiyaved, he may hold that Pidyon Shvuyim outranks Beis HaKnesses, right? No matter what. On the other side of it, we should note that the Beis Yosef in Or HaChaim Simen Kuf Nun Gimel, no one makes a fuss about it there, but the Magen Avraham in Simen Kuf Nun Gimel had a different girsa. Both of them have a different girsa in the Rambam. And something goes something like, how does it go? Aval imbanu yigmaru velo yimachru beis hakneses. Which means that if they're in the middle of building, right, they have to complete it, right? They can't sell even in the middle, right? I mean, Tosas and Ardaf discusses that also, right? Once they start davening there, he says that for sure. What about if they build? They're basically, hitchilu is one place to cut, to draw the line. Emtza is a second place. You know, Gomru is a third place. And then, you know, Ispalalu is a fourth place. So in the relationship between, you know, Beis HaKnesses and, you know, Pidyon Shvuyim, right, you can sell the pieces for sure. How much you can sell, you know, once you've actually started the Binyan process, that depends on these girsos. So you have, you know, a shita that says, once you start, you're done. You can't. The Beis HaKnesses trumps. That's the Magen Avraham and Ed Girsa, the Beis Yosef, etc. And then you have the opposite view, which is even if you're Nigmar, right, if you have no choice, you can always sell it. Okay, so especially if you take the view, you know, again, if you take the view that, you know, Pidyon Shvuyim trumps, then that's consistent with the Rambam. Although, again, you know, the Mechira Sefer Torah Rambam is a problem, and some of these other Rambams, the Mubel Tayabon, etc., are a problem. If you take the view that even Tchilas Binyan or Emtsas Binyan, Emtsa Binyan, the Beis HaKnesses trumps the Pidyon, so then what? How does that fit with the whole idea of Pikuach Nefesh? Right, just like the Sefer Torah one does it, and the other ones don't. So what I wanted to say for all these things, I just want to repeat it, is that in a way, you know, this kind of accentuates what we've been saying, which is that for the Rambam, to answer all these questions, in other words, where Sakonos Nefashos makes a difference, implying that it isn't already Sakonos Nefashos, where there are limitations, which there shouldn't be if it was Sakonos Nefashos, and at the same time, the indications, formulation-wise and urgency-wise, that it is a kind of Sakonos Nefashos, and that is that it's a din of Sakonos Nefashos, not a reality of Sakonos Nefashos. And that is a very powerful concept. And again, this idea that you have lost control of your destiny, therefore you are dependent, you know, quality of life-wise, you're at the whim of another human being, that idea that that's the equivalent of being ra'ev and being tzamei, you know, and being, you know, arum, and being, you know, bichlal, pikuach nefesh, I think that is the chiddush of the Rambam. So again, then the question is, like, what dinim depend on the din, the potential, you know, not just the potential, but the circumstances where you have zero control and, you know, what the dinim depend on that, and what the dinim depend on actual sakonos nefashos, right? And that's why you actually, you know, will have this, you know, these discrepancies, even in the Rambam, and certainly, right, in the other poskim as well. Okay, so that is number one. That's the one thing I want. Number one thing I wanted to say. Good. This same idea, before I go on, does anybody, I've been doing a lot of talking, we're trying to get through some stuff, but is there any questions on this point till now? And then I want to talk about if it's Bechlal Tzedakah, the same kind of parallel in just a second. Any questions? Josh, you have no questions.
Rabbi, what's a din sakana if it's not real sakana? Meaning, what's that in between stage?
you like to ask the easy questions, I see. No, what I'm saying is that when the Gemara said kulu isnayu bay, and the Rambam said, You know, that doesn't, it's not just an agadita and a melitza that's saying, oh, you know, this is a really bad thing. You know, you're in dire straits. You need hatzalah. That's how Rashi said anything could happen to you. Okay, but I don't think that Rashi means, you know, that you actually violate these isurim. I think he's saying, like, you know, there's a potential, you know, for you to be in all sorts of trouble. What I was saying is that the Rambam actually lists the isurim that you violate. And if I'm correct in my diuk, you know, the tzedakah, you even violate the asay as a bittul, not just as a lack of a kiyum. And, you know, you violate all these things at the same time. Like, these are actually on your demerit record on some level. So what I'm saying is that the Rambam thinks that there's a legal status, there's a mitzius of being, of needing tzedakah, of being ra'ev and tzamei and arum, and bepikuach nefesh. There's a mitzius of that, where, you know, your life is literally, and it's the what you're actually experiencing, you know, and the danger in case of sakana that you, you know, the sikuyim that you're really going to, you know, not continue your life, etc. That's one issue. And then there are certain situations which have a legal status of somebody who's who needs tzedakah or who is considered, just like we say, in certain dinim, we take this, again, a similar kind of a problem. It doesn't explain it more, but it's a parallel to it. We say that, you know, a mitzora is kenes in certain dinim, or ani is kenes in certain dinim. If it isn't just a melitza bi'alma, right, it doesn't mean that they're dead. You know, it's not tchias amesim when he's nisrapim in a tzaras, or when he, you know, wins the lottery, you know, and all of a sudden he's not, you know, an ani anymore. Nobody thinks that that's tchias amesim. And, you know, no one's saying kaddish over him, you know, because he was, you know, got tzaras or became an ani. But what we're saying is that there are certain, it overlaps, and there are certain aspects of mace or of ani, right, that apply, that apply, you know, to these dinim. So the Rambam is saying, you know, part of pikuach, now there are two aspects of tzedakah. One is the actual experience, you know, of being arom and being tzamei and being ra'ev and so on and so forth. And the other is like being in a state of quality of life where you can't rely on those things, and therefore you feel downtrodden. Just, I mean, in tzedakah, it's much easier to explain. As I said, Sefer HaChinuch says there's a mitzvah of tzedakah for an asher too when he needs idud, or he needs, or he's, you know, in a place, you know, where he feels insecure. it's easier to say that. Pikuach nefesh, the chiddush that applies even to pikuach nefesh, is that psychologically, and in terms of like every, again, we don't have control, you know, in our lives. Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz miyira shamayim, right? So we don't have control vis-a-vis the Rabbanu Shel Olam, you know, or nature, you know, however independent he created it, you know, or contingent, you know, on his direct hashkacha. That's a different topic, you know. So no one expects that, you know, we have total control, but, you know, relative to those and other factors, you know, we have a measure of control. But we're saying is that somebody who's a shavui, his quality of life, his practical control, but even more so, his legal and psychological state is one in which he has, you know, basically, he's in a state of pikuach nefesh. Not because lemaisa what will happen to him necessarily, but because the protections that even, you know, human beings' control provides, you know, are absent in a formal legal way in this case. So that's what we mean by it. Okay. By the same token, shouldn't the same issue come up with regard to, let's say, tzedakah itself? Like, let's say this guy is, you know, he's living in a gilded, you know, prison, And he is, you know, he's eating three square meals a day with dessert, you know, and he's wearing nice clothes. So when we say, according to the Rambam, that it's, he has a din of ani, or this is a din of tzedakah in terms of esen and laban and so on, what do we really mean by that? So it's interesting to note that the, you know, there's this interesting discussion, parallel discussion, whether pidyon shvuyim is bechalal tzedakah or not. So let's say, for example, people collected most tzedakah. Is there a requirement of shiva tovei ha'ir in order to change it for pidyon shvuyim? I'm not talking about if there's no other choice. Let's say, can you use that funds or not? Is pidyon shvuyim bechalal tzedakah? Why not? Or if a person makes a neder to give money to tzedakah, right, is, you know, can you use that money? Can pidyon shvuyim satisfy that neder? So the Marik has this whole interesting case where these people decided that, you know, they're going to take upon themselves to split their, you know, the good cause of tzedakah. But with regard to, let's say, the city and their tax obligations, they really shouldn't be equal at all. They should be levied, you know, a tax based on their, you know, financial well-being. Going back to the, you know, sugyas on Zionwood base that we talked a little bit about, when we talked about, you know, Hezekiah, you know, Beis Shar, etc. So the issue in the Marik is, what about, you know, if they want to use it for pidyon shvuyim, does that go lefi mamonam, or according to their agreement, you know, shavyam, is that included in their tzedakah agreement? So this is a very, very interesting, very controversial, again, Marik. So in the beginning of Simon Reish Nun Beis, the first, the Raman, Reish Nun Beis, is quoting the Marik, who says, Umikomokom hanoder sela letzedaka, ein pidyon shvuyim bechlal, ve'ein liftos besela zu, rak midas b'nei ha'ir. Meaning pidyon shvuyim money is not included in tzedakah money. This is based on the Marik. The Bach on the tour quotes this and says he doesn't agree. The Taz in Simon Reish Nun Beis said, quotes his father-in-law, the Bach, and says, I don't know why he doesn't agree with the Marik. You know, he said, I really don't understand his reasoning. But, you know, in the end, the Taz, we'll see in a moment, agrees with the Bach. It just doesn't understand what the Bach's nibukim were. The Shach quotes this Bach in the beginning of Simon Reish Nun Beis, and he thinks that he misunderstood the Marik and that he's wrong. He starts off by quoting, this is on Sif Katan Beis in the Shach. He says, Lashon HaBach, Kosav Marik Shor Shvav, Mishin Snade B'mos Hatzdaka, etc. Teima Shalohitik Devar Marik Kavayasan. He thinks that he didn't get them, you know, he didn't get the Marik right. Okay, good. The in the Mishnah Lamelech, in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Matnas Aniyim Halacha Yud Beis, he quotes an interesting parallel discussion of the Marik Kurkus on this question, whether tzedakah money is appropriate for pidyon shvuyim. Is pidyon shvuyim bechlal tzedakah or not? Anyways, the Taz is a very long piece. In Simon, he tells you, he says, look what I wrote in Reish Nun Vav Dalid. There he has a very, very long piece. Very long. In which he discusses this question. You know, and he says, listen, especially if you think that most tzedakah, he quotes the Mari Vail. My father actually wrote his PhD thesis on the Tshuvas of the Marival. The Marival explained that it's difficult to be Mishana Mimos Tzedakah because it's so targeted or earmarked that it's practically like, you know, you practically have the Zechus, you know, in it. So you're practically Zocha in it already. So that's what he says. Can you use that for pidyon shvuyim? Right? Are they really aniyim? So he quotes this Marik, and he says, the Marik, upasak sheyesh letzadeh imu bechlal lashon tzedakah, this is Reish Nun Beis, Reish Nun Vav, sorry, Sif Katan Dalet in the Taz. He says, el shemikol makom b'lashon b'nei adam ina bechlal. He says, whether objectively pidyon hashvuyim is bechlal, this is an interesting question, right? Tzedakah is, he says, you know, an open question. But as far as if a person is noder l'tzedakah, since neder goes by l'shon b'nei adam, he says, there for sure, that's not what he meant. This is the Marik talking. Utzdaka have a neder ben adarim hol chamachar l'shon b'nei adam, l'shon b'nei adam karim tzedakah l'tzarchi aniyim, machal, mishte, ksus, v'mizeh nimshach, odin, hivyu arama, v'misha omer sel azul l'tzedakah, de'ein pidyon shvuyim b'chalal, Bilun is damnu pidyon shvuyim ein liftosa miselaza im lo midas kolakol minan afkamina, whether you have to get permission from the tzibur or not. Viso kadaitach bilal tzedaka pidyon shvuyim and so on. Oh. So So this is an interesting discussion. Taz himself, I'm sorry, before I get to Taz, so the Marik says it's not tzedakah, and he also discusses whether or not when it comes to pidyon shvuyim there should be an issue of isol kedaitech de bechlal tzedakah v'pidyon shvuyim, should we be nechush dilma mizboi zuzi l'pidyon shvuyim. Oh, so he says, no. Lo chashin lepidyon. Let's just say lo chashin lepidyon shvuyim de milsa de lo shchicha hi. Right? Why don't you say it's not? What people don't really have in mind pidyon shvuyim because it's lo shchicha. Right? This is very interesting. Zeino darmina b'mabasra gimel amadeis lo lister b'nei knishta. And then the Gemara says, and what happens if gavu mos? And the Gemara pidyon shvuyim. The Gemara says dilma misrami. The pidyon shvuyim, el al korcha, tein pidyon shvuyim bechlal tzedakah stam, whatever. But afki makom kadoshu mikol makom. Okay, then a second. He says, but you know, obviously it's milsa. Either that we're choshing the milsa de lo shchichi if we see for mar gemar bava basra. Ah, okay. So this is the Marik. The Taz says, you know, I really like the Marik. I respect the Marik. You know. He says, you know, v'afki memakom kadosh bo, mikomakom tori v'limon ani tzarech, right? He says, lo nirin divrei harav bazeh. So I just wanted to just very quickly, it's a very, very long piece. Hopefully you read it. So, he says, number one, I don't think he's right. I think it's clear that pidyon shvuyim is b'chalal tzedakah. Number two, long tazes, you have to learn how to pick out the good lines. He says, how can he say, even on the Darim level, that pidyon shvuyim is not b'chalal tzedakah, when the Gemara says, Shevi kulu isnayu be. So it is b'chal tzedakah. Dimken zeshapodo, so hu machilo. He's sitting there with three square meals a day. Right? But he's machilo, because according to the Gemara, shevi kulu yusayibe. Umrbar mikol din zed, because omar sela letzedakah, right, daito, atzedakah, sheba osa kahal, sheba yara gabay. Ain't sarach shiva tove ha'ir? And then wrote some Lashano, so it would be fine. Mashe Enkein Bahach Sheomer Litztaka Ushim Kolel. Then he says, Ra'isi Lemori Chami, referring to the Bach, that he was Cholek on the Marik, Shalonirim Devara, Vavaltama in a Mavurli. The Kolmako Madin Ha'echad Shekasa Marik. He says, the only thing I do think is correct, that the person writes a star for Tzedaka, Nyolaniasaki Yafadin, Mitam Shah Pidyon Shuim Bechal Tzedaka Lo Shchicha. So he says, okay, anyways. So what's the answer to the Kulu Isnayu Bey? exactly this issue, right? Is he really machilo when he's poda? The answer is yes and not. Yes and no. It's this in-between status. How does that affect nedarim? How does that affect the need for being mishana, shevetobo here? But then also he has one more thing. He says, as far the question of whether or not choshishin, you know, le shema misrami, hachanami kenu, okay, nisrami, pidin shvuyim, chozar dabalikar, v'afa gavdil, inyan stiras based haknesses, chayshinan shema misrami, pidin shvuyim, zayin adoma le tznai shebein adam masna le chabero, dilin heta stiras based haknesses, lorotzu chazal ahatir, kivin dika biyal mechad tzad, shiavo amos, lidei hotza. So he says, Marik brought a proof that we're choshesh when it comes to pidyon shvuyim, even though it's lo shkiyach, because shema misrami from our sug in Bava Basra. So he says, there's a difference between a personal nodation, a tanai, and the policy of the chachamim in halacha. The policy is choshesh. The tnai goes on what's shkiach. But what I like to suggest, going back to what I said way earlier, is a different distinction. And that is, the Gemara quotes Shema Misrami when it's talking about stiras beis haknesses. The issue isn't how likely it is that there'll be pidyon shvuyim and whether we're choshesh for that. It's not a pidyon shvuyim halacha. And it's not an objective halacha per se in chashos either. Maybe it's a din in what constitutes chilul and stira as opposed to what constitutes tikkun and binyan. Or what constitutes derech hashchasa and what isn't derech hashchasa. So that what you might say is, even if it's lo shchiach, lekula and the chumri might make the distinction. Even if it's lo shchiach, when it comes to stiras beis haknesses, shema misrami, it's still considered kilkol and stira and chilo. Because it might happen. But lo yitzur, you're trying to figure out, a person is noder le tzedakah, that's a different case, and that's a different issue entirely. Okay, so anyways, getting back to the bigger question of which the Mari Kurkis, the Marik, the Shach, the Bach, the Taz, the etc., namely, is Pidyon Shvuyim Bechlal Tzedakah, right? This is an interesting argument that parallels whether Pidyon Shvuyim is Bechlal Sakana. And according to the approach that we're suggesting, I don't know whether we'll come to a definitive conclusion, but at minimum, we understand, you know, that why this is a controversial question. Because it's definitely not the experience of tzedakah, necessarily, unless it is. It's not the experience of actual safek pikuach nefesh, right? But it has the urgency and the din of these things, according to the Rambam. Question is, which dinim depend on which of these factors? Okay. So I'm going to finish a couple minutes. Just give me one more issue to talk about very quickly. And then we'll try to start on the Lefikach next time. But I'll probably have a little more to say just about this. Question, should I even start it? Okay. So just very, very quickly. Let's go back just for a minute. You know, I'm just going to pose the question and then I'll try to finish with this next time. But I also want to start with Peacock next time. And that is the following issue. Tosis in... we'll just raise a question broadly and then we'll get the details next time. Tosis in Bava Basra, as we mentioned, suggests that the mitzvah rabbah of pidyon shvuyim, which is implied by, even though, again, we're not posek mamon mi'aniyim, but it's, you know, afilu lepidyon shvuyim, and it's mitzvah rabbah. And then mitzvah rabbah, pidyon shvuyim, mitzvah rabbah, hakol nichlal bei. Tosa says, Hod amar perk b'nei ha'ir, the Gemara in Megillah and Chav Zayin Amar Aleph, ein mokrin sefer Torah, ilumo Torah, v'lisa isha, v'lo k'toni pidyon shvuyim. Shema milsa pshita hi v'lo yitzterich l'misne. Okay? So Tosa says that even though it's not on the list, since pidyon shvuyim is clearly of greater weight, urgency, we'll call it, than lisa isha l'umo Torah, that may be the answer. Right? Is it the weight or the urgency? So you would be mocher sefer Torah for that as well. That's Tosis's view. And as I mentioned, the Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah, you know, omits this clearly. And make not only that, but the way that he formulates his whole halakha is, you know, he makes it, even in Talmud Torah and Isha, much more b'di'eved, and gratuitously throws in the, even if he needs kedei chayav, which triggered the whole discussion of the Ramach and the Kesem Mishnah. So it seems clear, according to the Rambam, that pidyon shvuyim is not a justification per se, limkor sefer Torah. So there seems to be an interesting argument between the Rambam and Tosis. So the Rambam Shita, of course, we already discussed, would seemingly be at odds with his own, you know, extended, escalated view of pidyon shvuyim, and that we tried to explain. Good. It also highlights, you know, the, you know, we tried to explain that within the parameters of the Rambam, l'shitaso, despite the Rambam, but then within the Rambam. But also, again, it highlights the issue and the problem and the limitation of Mechira Sefer Torah for the Rambam, which is also, you know, extended, very much so. Okay, but that's Shitas HaRambam. What you have to justify for the Rambam is, so Lumo Torah and Lisa Isha are, you know, more overriding than Pidyon Shvuyim. That still remains a question. So again, maybe this is just a different kind of halacha entirely. If you look at the Rambam, we'll expand on this next time, it'll take a few minutes, but if you look at the Rambam, look at Sefer Torah, as I say, he begins the halacha by talking about Kedusha Sefer Torah and Kavod Sefer Torah. And for the Rambam, you know, this is a question of that. And what he's saying is, it's not a Pchisas HaKavod or a Kil Kedusha if B'di'eved, you know, you do this Lilmo Torah V'lisa Isha. Pidyon Shvuyim may be an urgency, right? So what I would say is that Kedusha Sefer Torah, according to the Rambam, B'di'eved, is consistent with Lilmo Torah, which is the source of Kedusha, and Lisa Isha. Interesting, the Gemara in Megillah, on Kav Zayin, Amud Aleph, says that the Yichus of Lilmo Torah's, you know, there's no Maisa without Talmud. And of course, you know, lo tobera, lo sheva sitzara, you know, when it comes to period of Arivia. It's like the Gemara itself is already trying to explain that it's not, you know, these mitzvos per se, or what's unique about these mitzvos is the fact that they are linchpins to other things, basically, as is Kedusha Sefer Torah. So it could just very well be that the Rambam thinks that this is not a question of mitzvah rabbah. Pidyon Shvuyim, in terms of, is the urgency of Pidyon Shvuyim, the shitaso of the Rambam, is how many Isurim are involved and how much control the guy has lost. Here, we're talking about Kiyumim. In other words, the whole formulation of the Rambam, Nichos Sefer Torah, I think also Nichos Tefillah, is an internal one. Namely, you know, is it consistent with what Kedusha Sefer Torah and Kavod Sefer Torah is about? You know, that l'shem other kiyumim, that you sell them. The pigeon aben, pigeon shvuyim, sorry, issue is about mitzvah rabba because of the isurim, right, and because of the urgency. There's a difference between those two things. Indeed, there are really three different sugyas that the Mefarshim had trouble with, right? One is the Gemara, our Gemara, original Gemara, where the Gemara seems to say, you know, you can't, you know, our Gemara says two things. Pidgin Shvuyim is very, very urgent, right? And you'll even take the materials of Beis HaKnesses and sell them. And Beis HaKnesses is very urgent, right? And maybe if it's a, you know, built Beis HaKnesses, you would even sell it for Pidgin Shvuyim, never mind for other things. So our Gemara, I just want to point out this, the three issues. Our Gemara really accentuates the indispensable and hierarchical status of both Pidyon Shvuyim and Beis HaKnesses vis-a-vis other mitzvahs across the board. When they come into clash with each other, that's where, you know, the Rishonim and the Rambam itself, you know, you get into interesting issues. That's one Gemara. If you were to take, walk away from our Gemara, you could walk away from our Gemara and say that Beis HaKnesses and Pidyon Shvuyim are like the two top. That's the impression you would get. On the other hand, the Gemara in Megillah and Chav Zayin Amud Aleph makes it seem as this Sefer Torah, right, is the top, or Puri Verivya Talmud Torah and Sefer Torah. Right, as opposed to, according to the Rambam, Pidyon Shvuyim, and certainly other mitzvahs as well. Then there's a third Gemara, and that's the Gemara, the Mishnah, and the Gemara in Megillah and Chavav Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah says if you sell, you know, a Beis HaKnesses, you can buy a Teva. And if you sell a Teva, you can buy this and this and that. In other words, that's the Sugya, as the Gemara develops it on Chavav and Chav Zayin, of Malin Bakodesh Veloma Ridin. Actually, the Gemara in Chav Zayin Amud Aleph there, we'll look at it next time for 2 minutes, talks about also putting Svarim on top, putting different things on top of each other. Like, can you put a, you know, a Chumash on top of a Nach, or Sefer Torah on top of a Chumash, or Sefer Torah on top of a Teva, et cetera, et cetera. In that Gemara, it appears that Sefer Torah is the highest, and that Sefer Torah certainly outranks Beis HaKnesses. You can sell a Beis HaKnesses. If you sold a Beis HaKnesses, you can use the money for plenty of things. So Rishonim and Poskim had a very difficult time squaring these three Gemaras, right? And part of it was highlighted by the question that they all asked on Balei Tosis. Right? Tosis here says that Pidyon Shvuyim in Achanami will trump Sefer Torah, right? So the Drisha asks this question, and he says, you know, I don't get it. How could that be? What do you mean? You can't sell a Beis HaKnesses for Pidyon Shvuyim, but you can sell a Beis HaKnesses to buy a Sefer Torah. How can you sell a Sefer Torah for Pidyon Shvuyim? If Pidyon Shvuyim is inferior to Beis HaKnesses, says the Drisha, right, then how could it be that it's superior to Sefer Torah when Sefer Torah is superior to Beis HaKnesses? Everybody got that? So that triggered a bit of a firestorm. So that's where I'm going to stop here. But so the Shach and the Shach and the Taz and the, you know, all of them kind of weighed in on this question. Similarly, the Beis Yosef in Simen Kuf Nun Gimel in Or Chaim, right, asks a parallel question. Right, he says, listen, you could sell a Beis HaKnesses, you could buy a Teva, even. I mean, you can, there are mitzvahs for which you could sell an existing Beis HaKnesses. Yeah? Not so sure, but whatever. He said, but that, our Gemara here in Bava Basra says that other than Pidyon Shvuyim, you can't sell, you could use the money maybe, according to the Rambam, but you can't sell even the bricks. You can't sell the bricks of the shul that are going to go into the building of the shul for other mitzvahs. So which is it? Is Beis HaKnesses superior in the hierarchy to other mitzvahs or not? So that triggered again a whole discussion in Or Chaim and Simen Kuf Nun Gimel. In my opinion, if you look at the three Gemaras, there are really three different issues. And that's what I want to just develop very quickly next time before we move on to Lefikach. I think it's the Gemara in Megillah and Chavav, number one, it's Meduik in the Gemara and the Rambam, is talking about a case where you already sold whatever it is that you sold. And the question is, what can you use the money for? It's the sugya there's about Malim Bakodesh. The internal question of Kedusha. And that's why it's also Gemara about putting one thing on top of the other in terms of Kedusha. That's one kind of question. Our sugya on Daf Gimel, on the base, is a question about Chilul Beis HaKnesses. And the Pidyon Shvuyim part is, again, is an urgency. The sugya in Anchav Zayin and Megillah about Mechira Sefer Torah is it in Kedusha Sefer Torah? So I think if we look carefully, again, I think that the questions of the Prisha, of the Drisha, same thing, of the Beis Yosef are all based on assumption that there is a single hierarchy out there of mitzvos. And, you know, whether it's about putting things on top of each other or selling them or using the money that already exists to buy other things, it's all the same question. And then there's it seems to be mixed evidence regarding Pidyon Shvuyim, Sefer Torah, Beis HaKnesses, in particular, like, you know, which is on a higher level. But I think that the Gemaras and the Rambam, and maybe the answer to some of these problems, is that there are really two different issues. There are three different issues, actually. Okay? So I want to pick up with that very quickly and talk about that Taz and Shach and that Beis Yosef and quickly. And then I want to move on to Lefikach next time. Okay? So have a great week, everybody, and we look forward to continuing. Go to it.